We noted last time how quickly the citizens of Grand Rapids were drawn into the war effort immediately after Pearl Harbor. Let's return to that topic. The Herald Review notes, since the war with Japan started, 5 men have been guarding the Grand Rapids Airport. All public airports in the United States are guarded day and night by armed men. There are only 4 small privately owned planes at the local airfield, but the possibility that planes not authorized to fly in this country might find it necessary to effect a landing somewhere in the interior makes guarding of landing fields necessary. Enough guards are stationed at each field so that there are always at least 2 awake and on watch day and night. That was a big plan to get that underway and to get it put into place so very, very quickly. Martin Nessus is chairman, and Mrs. Harold Ayton and D.S. Zetterstrom are the other 2 members of the Itasca County Tire Rationing Board, named last week by Governor Harold Stassen. Regulations provided that at least 1 member of the board should be a woman. For Itasca County, the January allotment is 18 passenger car or light truck tires, 15 inner tubes for those sizes of tires, 52 truck and bus tires, and 43 inner tubes for the same. Not more than 1/4 of the allotment for the month may be sold during the first week. Only those persons on the preferred list, such as doctors, nurses, police officers, and the like, may buy tires at all. Public buses, school buses, and trucks used in essential industries are also in that preferred class. Every person in the territory tributary to Grand Rapids will have an opportunity to contribute to the Red Cross to aid in raising the $50 million required for war efforts. Because there are so many families who have sent a boy into service, there's keen interest everywhere, and success for the drive is expected. The share allotted to this section is $1,800, and it will be raised within the next 2 weeks if response is as great as anticipated. All the post offices in Itasca County have now received their allotment of motor vehicle use tax stamps. Each stamp will cost the owner of a motor vehicle $2.09. The stamp must be affixed to the car or other vehicle in such a place and manner that it may readily be seen by federal inspectors who will be checking on compliance. Every owner of a motor vehicle used on the highways must buy a use stamp. The cost is the same whether the car be an old jalopy or the most recent model high-priced sedan. Car dealer Otto Gildemeister, along with 3 members of his force, left Grand Rapids last Wednesday to drive to Seattle, Washington. Their errand was to take 7 used cars from the Ford sales warehouse here and deliver them to an agency in Seattle. There's so much demand for used cars on the West Coast that it is profitable for dealers here to make up caravans and take these secondhand cars out to cities there. Each driver had a tow car behind the one he was driving. 1 car will be used to bring the party back to Grand Rapids, leaving 7 cars in Seattle. Leave your books for men in the service, and this is coming just a couple of weeks after the war had begun. Leave your books for men in the service on the front porch next Saturday morning, and they will be collected by a Girl Scout in a house-to-house campaign in the Victory Book Drive. Any type of a book which you yourself have enjoyed will please a soldier, sailor, or marine. It's a good idea to leave your name in the book, too, for who knows? Maybe some lad from here will pick it up in a camp library someday. Mrs. Gertrude H. Hall, County Superintendent of Schools, returned this week from St. Paul with full information on the sugar rationing plan. Mrs. Hall, by virtue of her position as County Superintendent, is in general charge of details for issuing ration books and other material in connection with the plan. After registration, no sugar may be sold to consumers without use of stamps. All sugar on hand must be declared at the time of registration. Every family will receive a serial number and a stamp book. Stamp books will contain enough sugar stamps to last for 28 weeks, and no more than the weekly allowance may be purchased at any one time. And salvage drives begin immediately, and they just go on and on and on. L.L. Huntley, salvage chairman for Itasca County, has announced a local chairman for the various villages and communities. According to orders from state headquarters, metal scrap to be saved and collected includes iron, steel, brass, copper, aluminum, lead, discarded tools, metal beds, stoves, railings, tire chains, pots and pans, picture frames, hangers, toothpaste containers, pipe and hardware, in fact, anything made of metal except tin cans. Waste paper to be saved includes wrapping paper, cardboard cartons and boxes, paper bags, newspapers, and magazines. Discarded rubber of any kind is needed, including old automobile tires and tubes, rubbers, overshoes, and similar worn-out articles. Cast-off clothing, burlap bags, and other rags are also needed. For the time being, the Lions Club will handle a collection of paper and old rags, and the Rotary Club will handle a collection of larger metals. The smaller metals, such as tinfoil and collapsible tubes, are being collected through local drugstores. All local records for long-distance telephone calls were broken Saturday evening when Archie Campbell answered the phone to hear the operator say, "Java calling Archie Campbell." The call was from the son, Duncan, who's a Navy flyer in the armed forces in the Far East. Mr. Campbell reports that the call came through very well and that he could clearly understand what Duncan was saying. A.N. Redquist of Grand Rapids is proud. He has the first souvenirs of the war with Japan that have reached town. These souvenirs are two pieces of dope or the heavy paint covering from the wing of a Japanese airplane shot down at Pearl Harbor. The samples from the Japanese plane reached Mr. Redquist last Friday in a letter from his son who was at Pearl Harbor. In that letter, he expressed hope that he would soon have plenty more Jap souvenirs to send home. If you and you and every reader of this week's Grand Rapids Herald Review saves his copy after reading it and gives it to the collector of waste paper in the neighborhood, it will provide our government with enough heavy cartons to ship 9,504 cans of condensed milk to our fighting men. Attention has been called by state headquarters to the necessity of preserving all public records from state, county, village, township, school district, and other groups. It is feared that in their enthusiasm for collections of waste paper, volunteers may destroy records which are of value. More than 1,000 people assembled in Grand Rapids last Wednesday to bid farewell to the young men leaving for Fort Snelling to be examined and inducted into Army service. 4 buses were used to take this contingent to Fort Snelling. Early in the morning, the street in front of the village hall had been blocked off in order to leave room for the buses and people. The draftees were summoned for 12:30 and taken up into the village hall auditorium, where they answered to roll call, were given their induction papers, and were each presented with a gift of an automatic pencil, suitably inscribed. A short program included the Grand Rapids High School Band, furnishing martial music. One store window in Grand Rapids is attracting a great deal of attention these days. It is the South Window in the Whitmore Drug Company. This window has been dedicated to the men in service from Itasca County. All photographs of men in the Army, Navy, or Marine Corps that can be secured are being displayed in the window, each with the name of the man beneath his picture. In the center of the window is a display card calling attention to the need for purchasing war bonds and stamps. Junk collected in last Saturday's metal salvage drive varied from alarm clocks to old cars. Among interesting things picked up were an old office safe, a 1921 car license plate, a discarded bed, an old laundry tub, and some discarded vacuum cleaner parts. Crews collected such miscellaneous items as a pair of wagon wheels, which one man could scarcely lift, to an alarm clock which still ran, and old tires and car bodies. No more will the busy housewife who has had an order of groceries delivered to her home in the morning be able to go to the phone in the early afternoon and call her favorite grocer for an additional pound of coffee or jar of preserves because extra company is coming for dinner. All deliveries by trucks, automobiles, or motorcycles are now to be restricted to not more than one each per day. The only exception is where deliveries of merchandise are being made to a hospital. Itasca County is responding at once and vigorously to the call for a nationwide collection of scrap rubber to be used for war purposes. From every village and from every filling station comes a report that old rubber in every form is being brought in, either contributed without charge or sold for 1 cent a pound. Every effort is being made to inform the people of this county of the importance of the scrap rubber drive. Rural areas have been reached through the United States Department of Agriculture War Board, which has communicated with community committeemen, and the drive is being brought to the attention of all farmers. 4-H clubs are aiding in that process, too. In every village, a salvage chairman appointed some time ago will work with Victory Aids, with local chambers of commerce, and with similar groups to bring the drive to the attention of every person and business place. All filling stations are collection agencies for the old rubber. Large quantities of old rubber have been brought in commencing bright and early Monday morning. More than 3 tons was sold at the Riverside Standard Station on Monday, and collections almost as large were reported from other stations. Old tires led, but there were rubber mats, old hose, worn-out overshoes, hot water bottles, even rubber toys, rubber heels, anything made of rubber. A little item here talking about a morale builder. Golden Glow Soda. Saturday, try this wartime pick-me-up. It's made with vanilla ice cream, orange sherbet, lemon syrup, and soda, topped with an orange slice. Available at Costello's Ice Cream Parlor. That sounds good. Grand Rapids has a new club. It's known as the Not Over 40 Club, and new members are joining as rapidly as they can be enrolled. In order to belong to the club, which has no dues, the prospective member makes two promises. The first is not to drive his automobile in excess of 40 miles an hour to save fuel. The second is to warn those whom he sees exceeding this official limit. The new member is presented with a neatly made paddle, nicely painted and bearing the figure 40 in large type. When a member sees in his rearview mirror that some driver is pulling out to pass him when the club member is doing 40, he holds the paddle out of the window so that the approaching driver cannot help but see the large 40. In most cases, the driver immediately drops back to the legal speed. Itasca County is putting before the housewives another project in which they can aid in war efforts and at the same time get paid for their trouble. This is the project of saving waste fats from household cooking. Fats are necessary for use in making glycerin, an important component of the high explosives used in war. Fat that might otherwise be wasted and which should be saved are pan drippings from roast ham, beef, lamb, and poultry, broiler drippings from steaks, chops, and bacon, and deep fat from fried potatoes, fish donuts, or similar foods. The fat should be kept in a cool place, preferably in an icebox or refrigerator. It should be strained to remove meat scraps and other foreign matter and placed in clean metal containers. Tin coffee cans are ideal. Do not use glass, paper, or cardboard containers. When any quantity greater than 2 pounds is saved, it can be taken to any meat market where 4 cents a pound will be paid for it. More complete organization of efforts to collect old iron, steel, copper, brass, aluminum, and other metals, rags and burlap, are being made in Itasca County. While a considerable amount of scrap metal has come in, it is known that there is yet a very large amount to be secured, especially on the farms in this county. Under the new plan, volunteer workers, 2 teams of 2 men each, will go out into the country and visit the farms. Here they will find all the scrap metal that the farmers are willing to sell. One business in Grand Rapids will close at the end of this month, and so remain until the war is over and victory is won. Already a lot to talk about victory, even in the immediate days after Pearl Harbor. But at any rate, this is the Roxy Studio, owned and operated by Marshall Story. Mr. Story says that commercial photographers are so sharply restricted in the amount of film they can buy because of war needs that it is impossible for him to continue in business. And Grand Rapids will have its first blackout on Friday evening from 10 to 10:30. Here are some of the regulations necessary. Warning will be given by short cycles of fire siren, 5-second blast and 3-second pause of the paper mill whistle. All clear signal at the end, straight blast for 2 minutes. Turn out all lights in all buildings and keep them out until the all clear is sounded. If out in your car, park parallel to the curb and turn out lights. Do not smoke, use flashlights, or use matches. Do not park in alleys. No smoking in windows, doorways, or anywhere lights may be seen. Do not use the telephone during blackout except for emergencies. Keep dogs indoors. Follow instructions of air raid wardens, police, and civilian defense officers. They may be identified by their armbands. Test blackout is authorized by proper military authorities. Arrest will follow violation of the orders. And later on in a follow-up, Grand Rapids people gave complete cooperation and plans had been sufficiently well made so that the first test blackout was an unqualified success. So yes, indeed, Grand Rapids people certainly very, very quickly knew that they were involved in the war effort. Next time, we'll look at the impact of the war on the Blandin Paper Company.